Welcome to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. The importance of place, our relationship to where we are, and the future is in some ways what this edition of Radio Curious is all about. On Sunday, May 18th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., there'll be a walk on the west side. That's the west side of Ukiah, an opportunity to visit six historical homes, each temporarily occupied by a historical character who will animate the house and tell stories of it and the neighborhood, portrayed by actors from the Ukiah Players Theater. We'll visit in just a moment with Kate Magruder, a founder and the lifeblood and spirit of the Ukiah Players Theater, continuing since its founding in 1977. We'll discuss some of the houses and some of the characters and why you should walk on the west side Sunday, May 18th. You can get a ticket at McGarvey Park at the corner of Clay and Dora and help the prosperity of the Ukiah Players Theater. Kate Magruder, welcome to Radio Curious.
Thanks, Barry. Glad to be here.
So tell us what's going to be happening on Sunday, May 18th, on the west side of Ukiah.
There's going to be a house tour, walk on the west side. This is a fundraiser for Ukiah Players Theater. It's put on by the board with a lot of community support and volunteers, probably most importantly, the homeowners who have graciously allowed us to let people come and you know, wander through their glorious, unique homes. It's the fourth walk on the west side that UPT has done. We've had a hiatus because of couldn't get a large enough group of houses 1 year. But each time we've done it, it's the most delicious event. It's one of my favorite things because, especially when it's a glorious Sunday afternoon, the opportunity to be out walking around the west side of Ukiah, which is one of my favorite places on earth, with hundreds, literally, of other people who are also kind of on that mission to see what they can see, but also just hobnob with people as they wander by on the sidewalk. It's just a really wonderful experience of community.
So what might one expect to see?
Well, this year, there's a combination of houses that are fascinating to me. Other years, we've had some of the stellar Victorian houses, which, you know, are just eye-popping. This year, each house is different. Each house is unique. And the thing that has struck me as I've been interviewing the homeowners is how each house has been redone a little bit by the present residents.
To want to make it how it was originally intended to be?
Or a combination of that with their own vision. That's what's interesting, because there's so much creativity in each of these houses. It's astonishing. And as people would say to me, well, I came in here and the house was like this, but then we decided that we would take out this wall or raise that floor or redo this whole backyard. And I would think, how on earth did they ever know to do that? Where did they get the picture for that in their mind?
Tell us about some of the houses that will be open on the tour.
Laura Fogg's house, which is at 1143 West Church Street. Anyone who knows Laura Fogg will know that she is one of the quilters in the Mendocino Quilters Guild, and has made some of the most extraordinary paintings almost through quilting. Her work is astonishing. Her house, a little house that she, as I said, just kind of recreated. It was a little fairly, you know, nondescript house up there on the west end of Church Street, and she has opened it up and made it this very personal creative space. The most special part of it is the garden in the back, which she has covered with mosaic paths. And so she's, in a way, quilted the garden, in a way. You know, she has painted this garden with her mosaics. She's built an outside room that's a bedroom and a shower area. In the shower, there is a mosaic of Venus on the half shell coming up that... It's just the most exquisite thing. And there's a tool shed that she's mosaiced. And, of course, the garden itself is glorious. And there's paintings and murals of Tuscany and the Mediterranean. You have to come see it. I'm insisting that anybody who has got any chance on Sunday, May 18th, to go to Laura Fogg's house and see her house and her garden, you'd be nuts to miss it.
There'll be somebody in the garden telling a story.
There will be.
Who can we anticipate?
On the outside room that Laura has built, there is a relief of a muse that is a copy of one of Michelangelo's muses on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. And as Laura was pointing that out to me, she mentioned that she thought that the muse was perhaps the spirit of the garden, had kind of overlooked everything that she'd done in this garden and the artwork that she's created in the garden. And that idea was so enchanting to me that I thought it would be wonderful to have a character of the muse alive and communicating with people who are walking through the garden during the Walk on the West Side house tour.
Who will that character be?
That human being who's playing that character is a local actress named Alicia Littletree. And she is going to be, in her own inimitable way, the muse in the garden. And she'll be talking about what Laura has done in the garden and her own kind of Alicia's kind of interpretation of what message and what spirit has informed Laura that is palpable when you're out in that garden.
What other houses can we visit?
David and Christine Hantz have a house up on Live Oak, 777 Live Oak, which is right across from Todd Grove Park. And their house is a really neat brick and glass home that was built in 1949, and they've remodeled it really kind of deftly. They've described to me what it was like when they first moved in, and then they told me what they'd done to it. Because when you're there, of course, it's what you see, and you think, oh, it's always been this way. But it wasn't at all. They came in and said, no, let's do this and this and this, and it's this lovely, unusual, kind of modern, but with a lot of wood, and those glass bricks that are some of my favorite. And it's right across from the park, so they have a huge picture window that lets them look out at the park and the people jogging by and little children playing, but they're removed enough. Their askance, the way that they face the park is just enough on an angle so that they're not smack on to it, so that it's like peeking at the park.
And who will be a character in their house?
A character in their house will be the woman who lived there from 1954 until her death, not too long ago. I think she was about 100 when she died. A woman named Muriel Hooper. And she raised her children. She and her husband, Dick, raised her children in that house. She was a school teacher. Her husband worked at the bank, the savings bank. And she is going to be talking about what it was like raising her children across from the park and memories that she has of that area and what they loved about it. And some stories about the house itself, which I won't disclose right now. I'll let that be a treat for you as you come, because there's some fun, wonderful little extraordinary touches to that house that Muriel knows about, and she's going to be talking to people who come through about it.
I want to hear about some of the other houses, but I think it might be well to explain why you have chosen to have historical characters in the houses portrayed by actors from the Ukiah Players Theater.
Of course, I've been interested in our history of this town ever since I came here in the early 70s, and have looked for ways to kind of unearth the stories of who's been here and done what. And as we've done the house tour before in other years, and I've gone on them and really loved being able to look at what other people's lives are like and, in these wonderful, wonderful homes, I have always wondered, what went on here? Who lived here? What are the stories of this house? Because they're beautiful, but they're empty, when you walk through, in terms of human life. So I've wanted to do something, ever since we started the house tour, I've wanted to do something that animates the spirit of the house. So I thought, let's put a character in each of these houses who can talk about the houses, who can talk about what went on in the houses over the decades, who can talk about the neighborhood, because there's so much that has happened in this little town that affects us today that I think most of us have no idea went on, or don't even think to ask, to ask the question, why is Todd Grove Park there?
Can you give us an example as to some of these stories in relationship to another house or two that will be open on the tour next Sunday, May 18th?
Another house is a historic house on the corner of Church and Hortense. It's the northeast corner of Church and Hortense, and it's an old house. The person who lived in that house, who grew up in that house, was a woman named Mabel Ames, and she was born in 1872, and her grandparents also lived on that big lot, the whole block between Perkins and Church Street. It was her family's lot. So she grew up in the house there on the corner, and Mabel Ames was a gifted musician. She went off to San Francisco and studied music and came back, and she was a teacher and a musician, and she played almost every instrument and taught almost every instrument. And she married a fellow named Bud Smith, Howard Bud Smith, and he had also grown up in Ukiah, and he was a breeder of horses, and he became a trustee for the city of Ukiah in the early 1900s and was until his death in 1922. And it was Howard Bud Smith who was responsible for the fact that we have Todd Grove Park. That piece of information has just been kind of resonating with me, because I remember being in Todd Grove Park last summer for one of the concerts in the park and having this enormous sense of gratitude that we had this park. You know, I've always felt that way since I've been here, but there was something, you know, there was something about that day and the beauty of that day, and it was a concert in the park, and it was filled with thousands of people, and I thought, who had the presence of mind to make sure we had this park here, because it affects so much of us? And it was Howard Bud Smith, because the city was going to lose it. They had bought it, and it had a mortgage, and for some reason the interest wasn't paid on the principal, and it was sold at a public auction in front of the courthouse to another company in San Francisco in 1918. And then that other entity in San Francisco was going to sell it to somebody who wanted to log it, and that was what was going to happen. That was like kind of a done deal. And Howard Bud Smith, who was on the city council, who's a trustee, said, no way is that going to happen. And he was the person who worked with the city and who worked with local citizens to figure out how they would come up with the money to buy those, what turned out to be 25 acres that became Todd Grove Park and then the golf course. And if Howard Bud Smith hadn't done that, we wouldn't have that park. And it's like, you know, the movie It's a Wonderful Life. When George Bailey gets shown by the angel Clarence what would have happened if he hadn't lived, you know, and it's like that. What if Bud Smith hadn't have done that, you know? What would our town be like without that park if it was logged?
Will Bud Smith be one of the characters in his home on Hortense and Church?
Well, he won't, because that wasn't his home. That was Mabel's home, his wife, as she was growing up. They then, once they got married, built the house at 304 South Hortense, which is where Judy Pruden lives, and that house was on the tour a couple of years ago. Bud Smith isn't going to make a personal appearance, but he'll be spoken of this time, because there are many of the houses around Todd Grove Park, and it's just too important a story for me to let sleep any longer. So I'm going to have at least one of the characters tell pieces of that story about Todd Grove Park and Howard Bud Smith. Howard Bud Smith apparently was also the fellow who was responsible for the fact that we had the Carnegie Library here, the first library that came to town. He also put his own money into creating the Victory Theater, which was the big opera house theater right there on State Street, which are now offices, but it was a big deal in the early 1900s. Well, actually, all the way up into, I think, the 50s.
And he's also the reason why we have Smith Street and Henry Street.
His father, J.P. Smith, was apparently like the first guy, white guy, who came to Ukiah, who acquired the main downtown chunk of Ukiah. and he was the guy who had the land that and gave it to the city for the courthouse. He had several children. Among them was Howard Bud Smith and Henry Smith. Henry Smith was a sheriff. He was killed in the courthouse in 1922 by a prisoner. He was shot right in the courthouse and killed. So this family, which was a huge instrumental family, that's why there's Smith Street. That's why there's Henry Street. You know, so as I drive around now and I pass these roads, you know, all of a sudden they have that has meaning to me. It's not just a name, it's a family, and a family that left a legacy for us.
Well, this sounds rather intriguing, this being the Walk on the West Side, presented as a fundraiser by the Ukiah Players Theater to be held on the west side of Ukiah on Sunday, May 18th, from 10 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon, with a gathering at McCarvey Park at the corner of Dora and Clay Street, where you can buy a ticket for the Walk on the West Side and ride a trolley to the six houses, or get a map and go by foot or by bicycle. We're talking with Kate Magruder, who is the lifeblood and spirit of the Ukiah Players Theater, working there consistently since being a founder 31 years ago. That was in 1977. You're listening to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. Kate, what are some of the other houses that will be open?
Another house belongs to Miles and Libby Gordon, and it's up on the west end of Grove Avenue. It's 731 Grove Avenue. This is a fascinating story, this house. Miles and Libby, in 1995, acquired it and decided that they wanted to remodel it, and they began... They worked with an architect who was an old school friend of Miles's brother, and they began taking it apart, and they discovered that the original house, which was built around the turn of the century, in the late 1890s, was a 15-by-20-foot cabin. They have used almost every piece of the wood. They've reconstructed this house. They've added another floor to it. They've taken off a back room and opened up rooms. But the thing that is really extraordinary about this house is that they have reused almost every piece of wood that they unearthed as they began taking this house apart. And they found, you know, that original cabin, and then there was a 1920s incarnation of the house, and then a 1950s incarnation of the house. So they literally kind of went through eras, and as they did, they found, like, behind bookcases and underneath foundations, they found Chinese coins, which makes them think that it possibly was an area where Chinese workers lived when the railroad was being put up here from Cloverdale, because there are definitely Chinese coins there, and they've embedded them in the new cement out on their back patio. And they found marbles, and they found flashcards from the 50s that were slipped behind bookcases, you know, evidence of life, you know, from other families and other eras. Even a speaker from the drive-in movie that had been probably inadvertently torn off as the people drove away from the drive-in movie and then thought, oh no, oh rats, and it was buried in the basement. And they're almost totally off the grid, Libby and Miles, because they have created this house, you know, with solar panels, and it's a model house of, you know, green building and kind of visionary and really comfortable, glorious architecture. You have to see it. What this architect Owen Kennerly did is brilliant. The choices he made and the being able to use natural light and just knowing what would make it the most comfortable and inspiring space to live in. They've been very, very happy there and planted lots of trees and gardens in the background, took out, you know, lots of cement and put in lots of garden. One of the things that Miles said, which is really interesting, is that as he's been gardening, there keep valley oak, little valley oak starts, you know, he's finding all the time. And of course, there's no valley oak around, you know, where they are right now on Grove Avenue and Walnut Avenue. And, you know, obviously those were what had been there for years and years and years were walnut trees. You know, that's why those streets are named that. What used to be were the valley oaks, of course, before any of that happened. And he also found a mortar and pestle in his backyard. that would have been underneath one of those oaks, of course. So the you know, going back to the original people who lived here. So Miles and Libby's house is really kind of an example of the layers and layers and layers of human life that coursed through this valley.
Will there be someone in their home to give a historical perspective?
The Turkelson family lived in that home for several decades, and Chris Gibson is going to be Mr. Turkelson. The thing that I like about putting these characters in these houses is that there's no boundaries on what they can talk about and what they know. So Turkelson can talk about his life living there, and he can look back and he can look forward. So Turkelson, we're going to give him the option of being able to say, and look what these young folks have done, he can see, because, from where he is in the spirit world, he can see everything. And so he'll be able to span the decades.
Kate Magruder, you'll be one of the characters in the Nicholas and Doris Sabitnoff home on the corner of Pine and Walnut. Tell us about the importance of discussing where we are and the importance of place and our relation to it and the future.
Well, it's interesting because it's become more and more important to me to be aware of my life in this place, that I'm not here by accident, that I'm not in any other place. I've chosen to be in this place, at this time, and that I'm responsible for this place and to this place, and I want to know as much about it as I can, and I want to help other people be aware that this is where they are and what has happened before us and who has shaped this place from the first civilization that was here. They shaped the Native American people shaped this landscape. It was not accident that it looked the way that it did when the first white folks came in the 1850s. It was a very conscious, gardened landscape, and then the people who have come since then have shaped it themselves, and we are responsible for continuing to shape it. I think that's what's really kind of capturing my attention these days, is that if we look around ourselves, whether it's street names or Todd Grove Park or who made the soccer field over by Pomelita, who shaped this place for us, and how are we going to shape it for generations to come?
You're talking about the intentional shaping of our community.
That's right.
By individuals or by groups?
Both. I mean, collectively, we can do enormous good. I mean, one of the highlights of my life was building the Ukiah Playhouse, with a group of people.
I remember being part of that group.
And with a large group of people. John Mayfield was telling me about helping pound the sheet roofing on the Anton Stadium, back in, 1949, and when he was 14 years old. And he helped make that happen. It didn't happen by accident. People just came together to decide to do that. Whether or not there are, groves of walnut trees, that aren't there anymore. Where are we going to plant more groves of trees? Are we planting grapes? Are we planting houses? What are we creating here together for ourselves and for our children to come?
Well, Kate, you're creating the memories and the histories, and encouraging people to tell their story. What motivates you to do that?
That's a really good question. I think to understand why I'm here. It's all about me, Barry. It's very personal. I need to know why. What am I going to do with this time that I get to be in a body on this earth? And I know the impact that it can have. What I do has an impact, and I want other people to be aware of their lives and the meaning in their lives. That's it. I want to be aware of the meaning of my own life, and I want people around me whom I love and work with and live with to be aware that their lives are packed with meaning, and to notice it and to talk about it and to share it and teach through it.
You may have just answered one of the signature questions of Radio Curious, as we come to the close of this conversation. But that question is, can you tell me an important thing that you've learned in the past year or so?
Well, I think an important thing is to not be afraid of change. I think that's been major in this past year for me. I've had change all through my life, but this last year has been a year of big change, and it's and change in that there's always something new to learn and to understand that you might have to break through boundaries of habit and even lifestyle, but to not be afraid of that.
Well, Kate Magruder, I want to thank you for being with us on Radio Curious and your stories about the walk on the West Side that will occur May 18th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. with a gathering at McCarvey Park at the corner of Clay and Dora. But before we close, can you tell us of an interesting book that you've read lately?
Well, I've just acquired it, and it's actually, there are two books, and they're put out by the Trust for Public Land. One is called Our Land, Ourselves: Readings on People and Place, and the other is called The Great Remembering: Further Thoughts on Land, Soul, and Society. And it, again, it's just focusing on our connection to the place where we live and how that place shapes us and how we shape it.
Kate Magruder, thanks for being with us on Radio Curious.
Thanks, Barry.
Kate Magruder is the life, blood, and spirit of the Ukiah Players Theater and the director of The Walk on the West Side that will occur on Sunday, May 18th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can get tickets to visit six houses and experience the historical stories that go along with them at McGarvey Park at the corner of Dora and Clay in Ukiah. The books that Kate Magruder recommends are both published by the Trust for Public Land. One is Our Land and Ourselves, Readings on People and Place. And the other is The Great Remembering, Further Thoughts on Land, Soul, and Society. Copies of this and other editions of Radio Curious can be found on our website, www.radiocurious.org.
There are over 750 archives on our website, radiocurious.org, and I'm honored to tell you that Radio Curious is now part of the collection at the Library of Congress. We appreciate your cards, ideas, and letters, and do enjoy hearing from you. The email is curious@radiocurious.org. The postal address is 700 West Smith Street, Ukiah, California, 95482. The phone is 707-621-5075. Ignacio Ayala is the assistant producer. I'm host and producer Barry Vogel. Thank you for listening.